Welcome to Raiders of the Lost Podcast, the ultimate film and TV podcast. Let's do a preview of Hogwarts Legacy, the video game. Hello, movie and gaming friends. Welcome back to the show. James and I, as we've been saying, have branched out into gaming, and the first game we're going to buy is Hogwarts Legacy.
Well, we've been playing games already, but True. We got the PS5 a couple months ago in December for Christmas, and I've been playing The Last of Us. Anthony's been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla, so we're getting back into the gaming world after many, many people telling us to do it, especially a lot of our patrons and Discord members have finally convinced us to start gaming again.
Thanks to Calvin Cam for the games.
Yeah, Calvin, thank you so much for sending us a bunch of stuff. We really appreciate it. And we got the PS5 specifically. Well, I got it because I wanted to play Hogwarts Legacy. Like, finally going to Hogwarts as a student, the dream that we've had since we were children and growing up with the books and movies and rereading them 1,000 times and rewatching the movies 60 times each to finally live the dream in the life of a student at Hogwarts sounds so enthralling and exciting. And I've been ecstatic about this game ever since I heard about it like 5 months ago, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is crazy. And we're so excited, and we're getting the digital deluxe edition, so that's coming, the disc version in the mail. Supposedly, we're going to be able to play it February 7th if you have the pre-orders, but if you have the digital deluxe, you can play on February 6th at night in like on the West Coast at 9 p.m., but then it's midnight on February 7th on the East Coast, so you can actually technically play as soon as it turns February 7th on the East Coast.
Is there a bonus features we get for the disc?
So yeah, we get like I'm pretty sure we get the Thestral Mount and the Dark Arts Battle Arena, as well as like a mask or whatever, but like that stuff's not super important to me. I just want to play it ASAP. You get the 72-hour early access window.
Amazing.
For $10 extra, which I'm like, yeah, of course I'm going to get that. But there's so many things to get into about why we're so excited about this game. The anticipation is immense, are things that we're most excited about, and also, you know, potential cons that could come with this game.
And we're also going to be doing video game episodes going forward. James is going to review The Last of Us. He's more than halfway through that game. I'm going to review Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And then we're going to be doing probably weekly, if we can, Hogwarts Legacy episodes, keeping up to date with what we're doing, what we like most about the game. And we can do all sorts of fun episodes going forward as well. I'm looking at possibly playing Red Dead Redemption 2. And that game looks really, really interesting to me and intriguing. I love the Wild West. To be able to live that life would be a lot of fun. So stay tuned. We're going to be having a lot more video game content going forward to try and add it to the show, to add a new branch to what we're making for Raiders of the Lost podcast. So we have a lot of fun stuff going on. But for Hogwarts Legacy, I'm just so excited. I made my profile on wizardingworld.com. I am a Ravenclaw. I have a Bloodhound Patronus. And I have a 14.5-inch Hawthorne wand. Now, 14.5 inches is actually way above average. Not surprised. Anything over 14 inches is very rare. So, I mean, just say it. I'm packing.
Congratulations, Anthony.
I think it's just such a cool feature and really ingenious. And it really makes audiences, and for me as a fan, to really connect with the game more, to be able to put my personal profile into the game. That way, I'm going to be Ravenclaw House. I'm going to get that wand, the 14.5 inches Hawthorne wand, and then I'm going to get that Bloodhound Patronus. It really means a lot that all the things that amounted to me as a personality, they are being translated into the game. And to be able to actively play with that, I think is such a fun feature, as well as the really intricate and very specific character design that they have.
So what Anthony's talking about is you can make an account on, what is it, Warner Brothers?
Wizardingworld.com.
You can connect that to your PlayStation gaming account or whatever gaming account you have.
And it's then a WB gaming account that you connect it to.
That's it. And then you bring that over and you connect that to your Hogwarts Legacy game, and it'll bring over your house, your wand, and whatever robes of your, like, special robes for your house, which is really cool. So you don't have to do it, but you can if you want. In terms of the Patronus, there's been no confirmation of even using Expecto Patronum or the spell, the Patronus Charm. in the game at all. There's no confirmation of whether you'll be battling Dementors. They've been featured in the trailer, but no one knows yet. So it seems like that might be something that potentially be a DLC later on, or maybe in number 2.
Oh, they'll be in it.
If there's a sequel.
It's in the trailer.
Yeah, but you never, there's no confirmation of using the charm, and they've already said that your Patronus won't transfer into the game, even though that's what you've been chosen, so your Bloodhound won't be there. And I got a dragon, so I'm disappointed.
So what I said isn't true.
But so I'm disappointed. Damn. So I'm disappointed by that, and yeah, I had to set the record straight. But there's still so much to really look forward to in this game. Obviously, Quidditch is not going to be in Hogwarts Legacy, which is a huge con for a lot of people. For me personally, not that big of a deal. And you know, we've talked about it. Not every student even at Hogwarts gets to play Quidditch. It's, I think, something that will be added, I'm sure, in a year or so. Another maybe potential DLC or for the second game. I'm sure they'll make a sequel based on the already huge success this game is becoming, topping the charts immediately, even before it's been released. So I'm not too worried about Quidditch not being in the game, because you can still fly. You can fly around the Quidditch pitch. Recently, a bunch of YouTubers and gamers and influencers were flown out to different Warner Brothers headquarters in London, New York City, and LA, I think, where they got to play Hogwarts Legacy, and they were able to record some of their gameplay and made a bunch of videos and content. And there are so many videos on YouTube right now of undisturbed gameplay of like 20, 30 minutes straight of people doing quests and missions or just whatever they want to do. Some people flew around Hogwarts the whole time and just explored. Some people did quests, which I think was smart for some of these people to do different things and not just all do the same thing. So you could see different parts of Hogwarts and different abilities you'll have. There's confirmation also of swimming. And eventually, I believe you can also dive at some point in Hogwarts Legacy. I believe that was confirmed by a dev. So there's just so much information out there right now about Hogwarts Legacy, the gameplay. But there's also a bunch of leaks that you got to be careful when you're out there, that you don't want something to get spoiled that could be really important, because some people have gotten this game. It is out there. Copies have been getting shipped out. Codes have been getting given out to people for testing and as well as for playing, and not everyone's being great about keeping it to themselves. And so there are spoilers out there for Hogwarts Legacy's narrative and storyline that you might not want to check out. So make sure you're being very cautious of what videos you're watching. And if you're on Reddit especially, be careful down there.
Oh, so some people got like advanced copies of the game.
And there's an embargo where then they can talk about it.
I read on Wednesday at 6 a.m. the embargo is released so that people can say whatever they want about the game. But until then, the embargo's up.
Which is pretty cool, because that's, you know, still like day of, and a lot of people aren't buying this game until they see the reviews, but I'm confident enough that it's going to be good enough that I'm still going to enjoy it, even if it's not an incredible game. It doesn't have to be the best game of all time, but what's really enticing me, in addition to it's stunning, the visuals for this RPG, it's not the best game you've ever seen in your life, but it looks incredible, but the character customization seems so much fun, but also the narrative seems excellent. You know, we have this these different houses and students that we're interacting with. We have different companions from each house. We so far know of at least 3 or 4 that are part of a main quest storylines that they'll have, in terms of Sebastian Sallow and Slytherin, Natsayonai and Gryffindor, Poppy Sweeting and Hufflepuff. We have a couple other companions we know about in Ravenclaw, but they're not supposed to be quest companions. They're just kind of in the game. I'm sure there'll be more that we discover as we play the game. I'm sure we've only seen a couple handfuls of sand of what this game actually is in terms of a beach of content and things to do and quests.
And Simon Pegg has a role in the game.
Yeah, he's playing the headmaster.
Which is a lot of
Phineas
fun.
Phineas Nigelis Black, an ancestor of Sirius Black.
Yeah, super fun to have an actor that we all love and respect to be in the game. It's just fantastic. And I am extremely excited to be able to explore the Hogwarts grounds. From the video footage I've seen, the amount of detail they put into the castle is just monumental, and the dorm rooms look fabulous, each one of them. And I can't wait to see the Ravenclaw dorms, because I'm a Ravenclaw, but the Gryffindor one looks really great. The Hufflepuff one looks like it might be the coolest one with all the
Can I clarify?
Or common rooms.
Common rooms. Thank you.
Sorry, common rooms.
I was going to say, someone's like, it's called the common room, Anthony.
You fucking idiot.
Harry Potter fan, my ass.
Subscribe. The common rooms look really remarkable. The stunning detail, and I love them all. And from what I've read, is we're going to be able to, at certain points, be able to enter the other common rooms that aren't our personal house. So I can't wait to be able to explore all the other common rooms. Slytherin looks like it has the best entrance with the snake moving out of the way of the door. Ravenclaw probably has the best views of the castle because it's up high on the Ravenclaw Tower. You can see the entire landscape surrounding Hogwarts. And I really liked the extension of the Defense Against the Dark Arts Tower. I'm trying to remember in the book if it's described that way or if it's just like a couple of rooms, a couple of classrooms. But the Defense Against the Dark Arts Tower is really gorgeous. It's made of like this really shiny marble of different colors. It just feels like so different in a good way compared to the stone of the castle. And I really like the design of that. I can't wait to explore that tower in particular. And what's really cool is all over the castle, all over every hallway, every room, every nook and cranny, seems to have quite a lot of interactability, whether it be side quests or riddles or puzzles or things you can interact with, clues you can gather. You can gather, I think, skills along the way as well. So it's really remarkable how interactive they've made the castle. So you can just walk around and just explore, but also you can get pretty heavy into the side quests just wandering around as well.
It's a character in itself, which it really is in the books as well. It's a stronghold of ancient magic, which is a major theme of this game. Your character is 15 years old. We're not sure if they were a squib or if they were part of the magical community. They knew of wizards and maybe they just didn't have their powers awoken yet. But something happens. You've survived some sort of incident and you're going to Hogwarts for the first time. As a 15-year-old, we'll find out soon enough whether you knew about the wizarding world or not, or whether or not you had magic or were a squib or were raised by humans. We don't know yet.
I will say, just to cut you off for a second, so of the everyone who was able to play the game for, I think they were given a 2-hour window to play the game, they were not allowed to post anything about the introducing storyline of your character.
I wonder if they even saw that.
They did. They just weren't allowed. They were not allowed to show anything about that.
I'm super curious because we are in London. That's when the character, like we saw the trailer, the owl brings you the letter and it's in London. So you're living in London, I'm assuming, but we don't know what you're were you a muggle? Were you living with muggles? We don't know yet. I'm assuming, yeah. And we don't know whether you'll be taking the train or not for sure, or whether you'll be going to different parts of Diagon Alley besides Gringotts. We're not sure about that yet as well. But that's the explanation of why we're going to Hogwarts at 15. And obviously, this gives
We've had like an encounter with dark magic or something?
So we've survived an incident.
Okay.
And it awakened magic inside
like
of
Harry.
Us. And this, well, Harry was already.
He survived
an incident,
yeah.
And, you know, we're something of a celebrity, though, around the school. Everybody knows about what happened. So maybe we were attacked by a dark wizard or something, and we survived the incident, and ancient magic was awakened up inside of us, and we're going to Hogwarts. And I think this is a great decision because it gives us the opportunity for older gamers and people to relate to the character. It gives us more mature situations to be put inside of and makes more sense for us using ancient dark magic and more advanced spells versus a first, second, third year who can't really...
Even do Leviosa.
Yeah, you can barely do that kind of stuff. And of course, it's not that... I think some people are like, how did you catch up to the students in just such a short amount of time? It's a video game, but also, you know, they came up with a great idea where the Ministry of Magic has loaned us this book, and this book is a way for us to kind of get... A quick learning on magic to get up to speed with the rest of the students, as well as learning things around the castle. This
magic
book.
For dummies,
basically, magic for dummies is a great way to put it. And this book is in the pause menu, and it's the field guide, and it's where we're storing all of our information, our inventories, and collecting different pages of this book that are wandering and floating around, and we discover them, and we learn different techniques and spells about the wizarding world. And it's a good explanation of, like, how can a 15-year-old be thrust at Hogwarts and keep up with everybody.
And so there's an overarching storyline, obviously, like in all RPGs, but there's a lot of side things that you can do. One of my favorite things that I'm really looking forward to doing is making my own vivarium, where you can save, rescue, and raise up, heal animals, all sorts of magical beasts in this vivarium inside of the Room of Requirement. You can also use this room for brewing potions. Some potions, like we know, take a long time to brew. Obviously, things like, I think that means we're going to use some brews that can transform us, if you know what I'm talking about. So it's fun to see that there's a space, and things take a certain amount of time to do. It takes a certain amount of time to cure an animal or to raise an animal up. It takes a certain amount of time to brew a certain potion or to grow a certain kind of plant. I like this use of time in the gameplay, and I just think it's so much fun. It's kind of like they're throwing in the aspects of Newt Scamander and what makes that character special and putting it into this world that we are so familiar with and love.
And the animals that we're raising will offer us different ingredients we need for a specific potion. So
we're definitely using a polyjuice potion.
It's something you do not want to neglect in terms of taking care of your animals in your...
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Of your fantastic beasts in your vivarium. But more things that I'm really excited about, I think first off, is the character creator, where you have so much customization and so many things you can do to your character when it comes to hair color, hair design, hair styles, your complexion, your skin color, your eyes, your nose, your facial features. There's so many templates. There's so many customizable options. It's going to be incredible to actually really create a really close replica of yourself if you want on screen or any kind of person you want, but also you can get fun with it and do something interesting. Like I might at first go the route of let me design myself as much as I can that looks like me, but then like why not have some fun with it and do something really cool that I want to see all the options and play around with it. That might take me a few hours just to figure out what I want my character to look like. And you can change it up at like Hogsmeade. There'll be a barbershop. You can change your hairstyle and stuff like that. You can get different glasses and whatnot. And you can upgrade glasses as well.
How long is your hair going to be in the game?
I'm not sure yet. It might go super long. I might go like Gohan.
Serious,
Goku.
Serious Black.
Goku when he's like the monkey Super Saiyan with like the super long hair. But I'm very excited about the character customization. And then you can also change the pitch of your voice, how deep you want your voice.
Yeah.
A male, female voice spoken, as well as... You can select your difficulty. I'm going to probably go the normal difficulty just to have fun.
We're still kind of new.
Yeah, I mean, I want to have a good time. Yeah. I don't want to die every hour that I play the game. But you can die in this game, and the combat looks terrific, but there are ways that you can perish, which is really interesting and fascinating. It's going to be so fun to be just like a teenager running around Avada Kedavra-ing things. I don't know how often you'll be able to use Avada Kedavra, but you can use dark magic if you choose to learn it in specific quests.
I love all the memes online that people are making.
Like as soon as I saw one where it was the first time a Hufflepuff student walks past me, Avada Kedavra!
I saw someone cut the scene. We took anything from the trolleys. Avada Kedavra!
It's so funny. It's funny every time. So I doubt you'll be able to like use it.
I'm sorry. The best one was Anakin in Attack of the Clones after he killed the people in the village. He's telling Natalie Portman's character. He's like,
I killed them.
Even the children, all of them.
So I'm obviously you can't walk around Hogwarts.
Padme.
Natalie Portman's character. I didn't even realize that's what he said.
I couldn't think of it.
Come on, man. Anyways, but I doubt you can't like just walk around Hogwarts Avada Kedavra-ing people. But you can still like use any kind of spell you want, pretty much at any time when you're wandering Hogwarts. However, they won't. I don't think they'll work on students or anything. As
it just
NPCs.
Bounces off.
I think
them.
Yeah. The NPCs will just bounce off them. And if you use dark magic around them, I think it'll build your notoriety in terms of people talking smack about you and not wanting to hang out with you. But I'm not sure how much the decisions will affect you in terms of the storyline going towards the end of the film of the game narratively. Kind of like what's the game you're going to play after
Red Dead?
Red Dead. Like that's a game where
you can become a bad outlaw or a good outlaw.
Yeah. So your decisions affect the outcome of the game and your character going forward. I don't know how much of that will be in Hogwarts Legacy.
Well, I read one of the creative directors of the game said that it won't have a major effect because they said that they don't want the ending to really change and you feel like you've been judged for being bad. Is basically what they say.
Yeah, I think it's obviously, it's Warner Brothers property, and this is kind of going to be canonically part of the Wizarding world now. That's their goal. I'm sure they're going to try to make shows and movies and stuff based off kind
of... They can't be like, there's a massacre in Hogwarts.
And like
everybody was killed in 1894.
1890, everyone's dead.
Slaughtered by a 15-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to explain that.
So no matter what, at the end of the day, if there's a battle of Hogwarts or whatever, or war, you're going to be the hero, even if you've taken the path of learning dark magic, I don't think you'll be a baddie, or they'll let you be a baddie. Speaking it's their of, biggest property.
Can you explain the war that's going on with Ranrok?
So Ranrok is leading a goblin rebellion, but we don't know too many details about it because there seems to be plenty of goblins that don't agree with Ranrok's goblin views. Rebellion and yeah. his views, because obviously Gringotts is still run by goblins and you interact with them. There are plenty of goblins, but there are also goblins that you seem to be being chased by or battling in the game as well. So the Goblin Rebellion is going to be a backdrop of the game. We don't know if it's going to be the main antagonizing force in terms of Ranrok coming after you. There's no confirmation yet, but he seems to be, if not the number one villain, a major villain in the game.
And the combat looks fantastic, and it looks like we're fighting a bunch of baddies all over the place. What I really like is it looks like you're seriously murking people. Like, you're blowing people up, you're lighting them on fire, you're turning them to ashes and bits, you're electrocuting them. You are messing these people up, so it looks like you're really becoming a lethal force in the combat of the game. And also, the combat looks really fun, very interactive. From what I can tell, it looks like it's pretty similar to the game I'm playing right now in terms of how you can control everything and how you operate the combat. It looks pretty fluid and much more energetic than what I was thinking, how you can make like combo moves and build on your spells over and over again. And it just looks like a really big highlight for what I've been seeing from all the reviewers and all the influencers who have played the game. They've been saying that the combat is one of the best parts of the game.
They're saying that look, it's complex, but it's fun at the same time. It's challenging, which, you know, you kind of want. It's like kind of a hard thing to come up with. You can have, what is it, 20 slottable spells. How do you make that function on a controller? It seems like it'll take a little getting used to, but then once you figure it out, it'll probably be really function-wise, really terrific to use.
It's all repetition, yeah.
So you get used to it. But like, you don't want it to be too easy, but you also want it to be complex enough where you have so many different options of spells, and spells will have cooldown phases depending on the power of the spell, or in like the dark magic ones obviously will have a longer cooldown phase. So after you use it, you have to wait until it charges back up to be able to use it. So you can't just Avada Kedavra everyone to death at like 24/7. This is obviously going to be a challenge here. So I think that the combat's going to be a lot of fun. Everything we've seen looks terrific, as well as I love the concept of like a dueling club at Hogwarts that's kind of run secretly by the students.
By a 12-year-old.
Seems like a lot of fun. I love it. Lucan runs it. So all these fun little mini games, which are really smart ways to get you really good at combat, because in the other games, they would normally kind of have you do storyline sort of stuff to get good at the combat and the spells. Like, I think it was Order of the Phoenix, you're at Grimmauld Place with Sirius, and he's teaching you how to do the combat in that game, and other games did it differently. But I like the concept of, we're getting you to Hogwarts before you're even doing anything crazy magic-wise, and while you're there, you're going to learn how to do combat and duel.
And also, the landscape looks fantastic, and it looks like the world is pretty big and extensive outside of Hogwarts grounds, and you can obviously go to Hogsmeade, but it looks like we can explore quite a bit. We're not sure exactly how far we can go. All the people who got advanced access to play the game, there were boundaries around the Hogwarts grounds, but it looks like from the trailers and some of the footage, we can go pretty far outside the grounds, explore these landscapes and environments around the area, and I'm sure we can do lots of interactivity with plants. We can gather things we need for our potions, as well as rescue animals. And I think the poacher storyline, poachers are going to be pretty heavily featured in this game as side quests. I think the poachers will play a major part of exploring outside Hogwarts,
especially with your companions as well, specifically with Natsayonai, who there's a trailer quest with you and a hippogriff who you're saving from poachers, it looks like, as well as Poppy Sweeting is very much involved in magical beasts and the protection of them, and poaching seems to be a huge problem in the wizarding world back here in 1890. It seems like a huge major thematic element in the narrative as well as the story, where, you know, we've seen some quest videos where you're sneaking up around different villains, but in the backdrop of that environment there are two dragons just fighting because they're chained up, and this is kind of
like chicken fighting.
It's like a dragon fight. Yeah. And so it seems like poaching is going to be something that you're going to play a huge part of in reducing and eliminating as much as you can from the wizarding world, which is really incredible. It's a great idea. It's a great way to infuse magical beasts into the wizarding world like we've never seen before, because of how lackluster that representation has been in the magical world when it comes to all the films. in books especially too, but even specifically with the Fantastic Beasts movies, which are called the Fantastic Beasts, but we hardly really ever
We're
see them
the
narratively.
City.
They're not really narratively part of the story until the third one, even though Newt's got his briefcase, which is really cool. But outside of that, that seems like fluff to the storyline, but now the magical beasts are playing an important role in the narrative of your story and your legacy.
And there's a magical beast in the trailer, the cinematic trailer, where I was like, oh, is this in the game? And it's the spiders in the forest, like the giant spiders.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, is there going to be a quest where we have to fight off the giant spiders in the Forbidden Forest? Because sign me up, that sounds wild. And I hope if that's in the trailer, it's going to end up being in the game. It must be, because it's pretty prominently featured in the trailer, that shot. You know what I'm talking about?
No, yeah. And that's been a huge debate about people with the game is, canonically, Hagrid was the first person to bring the Aquamantula to the Forbidden Forest with Aragog.
Aragog!
King of the Arachnid, though the body will decay, the spirit will linger on the pincers. Now, canonically, is that true? Yeah, but that doesn't mean that there weren't Acromantula before Hagrid got there and they kind of maybe died out. Maybe that happens in this game where Hagrid thought he was the
massacre
first.
Them.
Maybe he thought he was the first one to bring them there. Maybe it's a different kind of giant spider. You know, it's the magical world.
Yeah.
Also, who cares?
Who cares?
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. I want to fight some giant spiders.
Yeah, same, man. Same.
But I want this game to be scary, so I'm really excited about that, because the darker and scarier it is, the more excited I'll be. Because in the early marketing for this game, in terms of like the end of last year, they were really going hard with the dark magic stuff with those trailers, and we saw a lot of Inferi and the spiders and obviously and everything. But the last couple months, that stuff's been kind of just like under the radar. No one's talking about it lately. So it's I think it's something that they're saving now, and they introduced it early to get people really excited, but now they're kind of hiding it. I bet you it's going to be a lot darker than people think.
I think they wanted to show off the bat that it wasn't going to be like super friendly and super safe. And I think that's the first thing they want to showcase. That it would be darker, that it would be more serious in tone and more adult. And I think that's what really got people excited when they saw the Inferi, when they saw people using the Crucio. And so I suppose that the marketing changed to being like an all-compassing of welcome back to Hogwarts kind of thing. I think it was smart to showcase the darker stuff really early, to really showcase like we have dark elements in this game. It's not all going to be fun.
The professors.
Well, it will be fun, but you know what I mean.
The professors seem really interesting and fun as well. We got a bunch of classes that we can take. We can take charms, defense against the dark arts, herbology. We can also. I'm not sure. Actually, yeah, we can take that. We can take.
Yeah,
divination.
Weasley. A Weasley is the herbology professor.
Yeah, so yeah, the Weasley is not herbology. She's just got red hair. Anthony, come on. Mrs. Weasley is the deputy headmistress.
Oh.
All right.
I thought she was herbology.
They both have red hair.
Oh, I got him. I'm thinking the red-haired teacher is a Weasley, but it's not. It's what you're saying.
So not every red-haired person is not a Weasley, Anthony.
Red hair, hand-me-down clothes,
freckles,
vacant expressions on the face.
You must be the Weasleys. There is a Weasley, though. She is the deputy headmistress to headmaster Phineas Nigellus Black. Now, canonically, he was a headmaster. He's also the most unpopular headmaster. It seems to be most of the students probably hate Phineas Nigellus Black, except for us Slytherins. That's right, I'm Slytherin. Probably love the guy to death. He's probably the GOAT of all time.
Yeah, before Voldy.
But honestly, we've done a bunch of research, and we did a Hogwarts Legacy podcast a while ago that we had to shut down, but we talked about in an episode how canonically, there was a Sirius Black at school at the same time as Nigellus Black was headmaster. It was his grandson, or either his son, was Sirius Black, and Sirius Black the first, and he was a student at the same time he was headmaster. So, canonically, there should be a Sirius Black at Hogwarts in Hogwarts Legacy, which I think that he will be, and they are keeping a tight lip about it.
Nepo baby. Everywhere. They're everywhere. And what's really cool is that you can visit Hogsmeade pretty much, it looks like, whenever you want. You can eventually even do this side quest with the haunted store. You solve that quest, you finish that, and you can end up owning a store and running it in some kind of shop. We're not sure exactly what you'll be selling.
It seems like threads, clothing, and maybe butterbeer possibly.
But it looks like you could be the proprietor of your own business as a 15-year-old, which is pretty fun.
It's awesome. And it's really cool that they're not restricting when you can go to Hogsmeade, it seems like. It seems like maybe you'll have to unlock it somehow.
I think that you'll still have to take the underground tunnel.
maybe
to get there,
or the one you can go
or use the charm to go invisible.
But you can just fly anywhere. So
yeah, that's true.
Maybe
yeah.
at nighttime you'll have to use more secret methods to get around. But generally, you can just hop on a broom anytime, which is really cool. You can mount your broom anytime you want. You just press a button and you hop on your broom. Except for when you're swimming, I believe you cannot mount, but you can
correct.
You can dismount over water and jump in like land in water.
Fun,
which is really cool.
And there's also, I think, certain points in quests where they won't let you mount because you're supposed to be near something that you have to look at. So if you're on a certain kind of quest, you can't mount your broom.
Something I'm so excited to hear though is the music. We've gotten a little taste of it. We've gotten some tracks, the fireplace loop music, which
I hear it when you shower, and I hear love it playing.
There's a great loop that I found, and it's like an hour of just.
Can you send that to me?
Yeah, it's terrific. Yeah. But I believe they recorded 30 hours of music for this game, and
whoa.
It's absolutely sensational because it fits so well in with Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets, the films. It sounds like the style John Williams created for the movies, because Prisoner of Azkaban still sounds great, but he went a little more jazzy, a little more new wave. And then obviously that was the last one he did. And there are thematic elements of John Williams' score in the rest of the films, but some of them really deterred from the themes of Harry Potter. There's even a Harry Potter movie where I don't even think we heard it in Order of the Phoenix, the Harry Potter, except for the opening.
You mean the worst Harry Potter movie?
Yeah, so there's a lot of music in the Harry Potter world after John Williams' departure that I loved, but also some that I didn't love because it really just went in a completely different
direction. It ultimately
never
felt the same.
Never felt quite the same. Never did. That's one of my favorite parts about those first two movies is the music. It's so incredible, and they've done a terrific job capturing the atmosphere with the same kind of instruments, same kind of themes.
That's what's big. They're using the same instruments that John Williams likes to compose with.
And you can hear the Hedwig's theme in there in different parts of the game as well.
Oh, really?
But I think they really did a terrific job so far from what I've heard with capturing the essence of the first two films and just fitting that music into another world and expanding on it.
I'll have to listen to that. I'm really curious to hear it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the music specifically as well.
So you're Slytherin, and that's in the dungeons. Hufflepuff is near the kitchens.
Yeah.
And then Gryffindor, obviously, is off the stairwell. And then Ravenclaw, common room is in Ravenclaw Tower. I wonder if, because of your companions, you'll be able to go to the other common rooms. But my question is, so your companions are Hufflepuff, Gryffindor, and Slytherin.
From that we know of.
That we
now.
Know of. And so far they haven't announced a Ravenclaw companion, have they?
Not an official one in terms of like a quest storyline, yeah. But there could still be.
So that's my question is, for people who aren't Ravenclaw like me, like I'll already be in Ravenclaw Tower, my guess is with your companions you'll be able to go to their common rooms, but if you're not a Ravenclaw, how will you be able to go to the Ravenclaw common rooms? That's my question.
I think that the only way you'll be going to other common rooms is if it's via stealth and part of a quest at night.
Oh, yeah, a quest, yeah.
Because I think that whatever house you're in, you're stuck with that. Because there is a Ravenclaw companion. His name's Amit now, but it was described as not being like a quest kind of companion. He's just kind of there as a friend.
He's just there.
But there are plenty
lingering.
But there are plenty of other characters that that have potential to be companions that you see regularly
like,
in the trailers.
Like they're not mandatory companions, more so like they're just side quests.
Yeah,
you can
so
choose.
Like even so the actor who played Lee Jordan, he was played by, hold on one second, because he's also in the game.
Oh,
which
cool.
is so cool to bring him back. So Lee Jordan is played by Luke Youngblood. Now he plays a character that is a Ravenclaw. And he's one of the guys in glasses that's kind of in the background a lot. Is he going to be a Ravenclaw companion for quests? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game is a lot bigger than people think.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about these quests with these companions, they're optional. You can do them if you don't want to, but it doesn't affect technically the ending narrative of the story. Obviously, you'll want to do them because they're probably going to be super fun, as well as the things you'll get in terms of maybe learning spells and upgrading your character, X points, whatever, if they're going to do experience points.
So there's going to be experience points. There's going to be different abilities and skills that you can develop.
And these are probably things you're mostly going to learn on these quests and in classes that you don't have to take. Again, they're not mandatory. So I think that there's going to be more quests that we have no idea about, because what we've heard from a lot of these people who have already played the game is it's massive. There's so much to do, but it doesn't feel redundant, which I'm really excited about. And For 100% completion, it'll probably run you about 80 to 100 hours of gameplay. But just to complete it
That's everything.
Yeah, that's every single thing. And that's people who know the game so well playing it.
And the main story I read is 35 hours
completion. Yeah, but that's the devs. Yeah. That's not a normal person. Like, I'm going to spend 5 hours just looking around.
I'm going to swim in the lake for an hour.
I'm just going to be like, what? This is crazy.
I'm curious about the customization because I'm sure with more money you gather or quests you complete, you unlock new things and you can purchase new things. So there are different kinds of robes you can purchase. There are different kinds of robes you can wear. Also, maybe you can purchase new broomsticks. Like maybe you can get like a Firebolt or like a Nimbus 2000 or something. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, those don't exist.
Don't exist, yeah.
Although yeah. I bet you can upgrade your brooms. Because
they'll have upgrades.
There are
sure.
limitations on the broom that you have in terms of when you can do your speed flying. You can fly around pretty fast, but you have a turbo that runs out, obviously, but you can only use the turbo at specific times, and you can't fly too high because you will fall off and you will perish. You can die from your broom. And I believe when you're sky high, you can't use your turbo. However, there are other mounts, like there's a hippogriff mount, as well as obviously if you get a Thestral, they'll be able to fly more consistently and faster at higher altitudes, and also you can use them on the ground as a land mount if you want as well.
So if it's just a mount, you can call a hippogriff anytime.
Yeah, it'll be the same thing as the broom.
And your hippogriff will like show up in the middle of Hogwarts grounds and you can just ride it.
Yeah, it's like you pull it out of your bag.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, it's just like a broom where you can use it anytime.
Yeah, same thing.
That's cool. I thought it was only going to be for specific times.
Yeah, you can just...
So you can, like, walk around Hogwarts ground on a hippogriff.
And you can also...
no one will say anything.
I don't know about that. We'll find out.
That's what I'm asking, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but you can just call... You can just pull it out of your bag, basically, uh-huh. anytime. And you can even use it for offensive moves.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
So you can run with the horse.
I wonder if we could shoot spells while flying.
I wonder. I bet.
That'd be
actually
sick.
I believe the only spell you can use while flying is Revelio.
Okay.
Which is going to be your bread and butter in this game. Mm-hmm. Revelio is going to be probably your number one spell that you're using as you're walking around, because you'll be using Revelio to reveal secrets around the castle, whether it's solving mysteries, puzzles, discovering new things, and you can use it when you're flying. I believe it's the only one.
Yeah, it's also going to be useful when you're looking for loot.
Getting that booty.
It'll show you loot will glow yellow.
Give me the loot. Give me the loot.
And then villains will be highlighted in the color red, and you'll be able to see them like through walls, a certain number of walls in the distance.
Very cool.
But I'm so excited. I can't wait to play this game. We get it in just a few days' time.
Let's go.
So it's going to be quite the busy February. You're going away for 5 days, so I'm just going to play this for 5 days straight.
I'm going away to myself. The 13th, the 17th, so Anthony will just be home playing Hogwarts Legacy. I'm going to come back. You're going to have like a wristband. It's going to be like the guy in the South Park episode, the gamer.
Mom, bathroom. Hot pockets. Bathroom. Hot pockets.
So I'm pretty jealous, but...
You see, I'm going to be a neckbeard?
No. No, but we're ecstatic. Cannot wait. It's going to be so exciting. And next Saturday, you'll hear our immediate thoughts on it. I'm trying to finish The Last of Us before the game comes. We'll see. I still have maybe, I think I'm probably like 30% left. I'm just at the university, the science university, trying to get to that lab. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, I just got there. I got the flamethrower just now, which is really cool and exciting. I've been riding a horse with Ellie, so hopefully I can finish it in the next few days. I can just like bunker down and just do it. But cannot wait to play. If it comes, I'm hoping, since we're getting the disc copy and it's getting mailed from GameStop, I'm not sure when exactly it's going to come, whether maybe it'll come February 6th at 9. I mean, at night, possibly. Because if you got the digital, you can play. We're on the East, and we're on Pacific time zone right now. We're in California. You can play on February 6th at 9 p.m. in California if you got the download, the digital deluxe. However, we got the disc. Rookie mistake, I think.
Absolutely. Now that we've been playing for a few weeks.
We're new, everybody.
I didn't buy it. Jim did.
I didn't understand the concept of like, wait, you just download the game. And then Calvin's like, yeah, just download my games, man. So I'm not sure if it's going to come the 6th. Late at night, or maybe it'll probably come early in the morning, like very early, first thing, February 7th.
Better.
Which would be sick.
It's going to come on the 8th.
So I'm going to set some time aside.
But we're going to be standing out by the window all day. It's every time a car comes by. Is it Hogwarts?
But if it comes at late at night on February 6th, I'm playing until like 3 a.m.
Imagine if they delivered it in a Hogwarts envelope.
I wish. It'll just be a crappy cardboard package. But we're very excited about this game. Let us know your thoughts and get used to more video game episodes.
Get
used to it, sister. This is the first of many.
See you next time.
Sick reference. Bye, everybody.
Raiders of the Lost Podcast is a Mirror Image production. Sound mixing done by Jacob Kosler. Opening music by Chase Jackson.